The episode you're about to listen to is from an unreleased episode of an earlier incarnation of the Away Team. These were Adam and I's first impressions of Star Trek Discovery back in 2017. There may be issues with events and future events within the show, but this hasn't been heard since it was deleted from the internet back in 2018. Sit back and enjoy.
Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
My name is Catherine Janeway.
Prune juice, chilled.
Welcome to the Away Team, a Star Trek podcast. A podcast that is designed to comment and critique each episode of Star Trek in canonical order, with a bit of a twist. Everybody, to the Away Team presents Star Trek Discovery Recap, a slight aberration in our Away Team series where we're going to actually discuss, review, and, critique the new batch of episodes that are come out for Star Trek Discovery. This is for the episode Despite Yourself, one of the ones that doesn't use Latin or isn't a 15-word quote.
It isn't a haiku,
you know. It's actually just a regular title, so thank you very much for giving us that.
It's like, hey, what's the new title of the next Enterprise episode, or the next Discovery episode? I'll let me check. To be or not to be. That is it's the whole thing.
Right, it's Jesus. The whole thing. Yeah, this one is Romeo, O Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? like seriously?
Like, can we calm down, please?
Right. Yeah, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
So, because last year we did some of these episodes, and we did them as minisodes for the show. But this year, basically, Adam's schedule is kind of tight, and instead of rudimentarily just doing extra episodes during the week, it just seemed a little easier just to do it on our regular show. However, we end up doing an episode in the middle of the week.
Right.
because of an issue. So
me forgetting to watch the episode of Star Trek.
Right.
Kind of hard to talk about it when I didn't watch it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so it's kind of one of those like, well, we could try faking it.
No.
Yeah,
no, I wouldn't want to do that to the listeners out there.
Right.
Okay. And I probably couldn't pull it off.
Right.
So yeah,
that's the real trick right there. Before we get into the episode as usual, let's have a listen to the trailer for this episode.
Where the hell are we?
Lieutenant Stamets is non-responsive. Tyler.
You have to tell the captain.
Did you want all of this to happen?
You can't hurt me anymore.
Red alert! Shields up!
The enemy exists.
So, this episode picks up from we'll talk about the other thing at the end. This episode picks up right where we had the finale, which was a little bit of a kind of lackluster finale.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the way this episode comes out really kind of makes the previous episodes that led up to this, kind of like, why do we wait this long to get here? In a lot of ways. I mean, I understand, you know, we build the characters, we build the relationships, all that stuff. We got Harry Mudd. But kind of we got to this point, and now we're like, it's kind of like that, oh, now we're getting good.
Yeah, this shit is choice, man. Like, this is an awesome episode.
Especially one to start the second half with.
Yeah.
So, of course, in this particular, I mean, most people figured it out when the episode ended back in December, that we're in the Mirror Universe. And if you are a Trek fan, you know the Mirror Universe. It's the Spock with the goatee, you know. Right. It's
Hitler won the war.
Right. It was the one that we had Kira Nerys in DS9 as the Emperor. It's also that episode of Enterprise when Archer found the Defiant and was going to rule the Alpha Quadrant using that ship at the time. So we're back there. The only ones that I'm kind of upset with is the fact that we never got that Next Generation Mirror episode. I would have loved to have seen that, you know. So,
wait a minute. Next Generation Mirror episode. So every time Riker doesn't have a beard, the alternate one has one. Right. But when Riker does have a beard, the alternate one loses it?
Or maybe just has the goatee.
What the fuck? I'm so confused.
I know, right? So in this one, they've made some changes to the Mirror Universe. Of course, you know, you have people calling them social justice warriors because, you know, the it's strictly a human empire, the Terran Empire, which is basically fighting everybody that's non-human, which actually makes sense because those people that are calling those social justice wars are the ones that would end up doing this.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of ironic, you know. So what we have here is we have the Discovery figuring out that they are where they're supposed to be, but not this universe that they're supposed to be. And of course, Stamets is down. He's sort of catatonic in this episode, but he keeps saying, you know, something about don't go into the palace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't go into the palace. And then the enemy is here. So we have a bit of information of this. To me, this was like, okay, we just happen to have a destroyed Klingon cruiser that has all the information they need to know, you know, about what's going on.
It was a little convenient.
It was a little too convenient for that. But I do have this little cutout here that kind of explains the whole universe that they're in. So, check this.
Obviously, the idea of parallel worlds has been around since the 20th century.
And you and Stamets believed the spore drive could jump between them.
Well, it was a theory I was working on. Stamets was keen to chase it with me after the war.
But these areas don't correlate to anything in the known universe.
We suspected the mycelial network extended way beyond anything we'd imagine.
A vast system underpinning all quantum realities.
But the exact coordinates of some of the more esoteric destinations eluded us. Apparently the 133 jumps we made filled in the gaps.
Extraordinarily fortunate coincidence.
I'd say unfortunate. When you number one.
It's worse than that. The Klingon cloak breaking algorithm we've been refining. There's no way we can send that back to Starfleet now.
That's why we have to make it back. Otherwise, the ships are just sitting ducks. The war is as good as lost.
Well, Stamets brought us here accidentally, so we should examine the spore drive's navigational logs more closely. There could
I
be
just pushed Stamets too hard. The number of jumps scrambled his ability to hold the coordinates for Starbase 46 in his head. Now, what we need to do is understand where we are and how to survive. Then we'll find a way home. We'll recalibrate the sensors, and you start looking at the records, see if there's something we can learn.
Yes, Captain.
So
notice how he said number one.
Right. I know. And Jonathan Frakes direct this one. So
right.
It's a bit fitting. So we find that they're there. And then what's his name? Ash is sent to go to that Klingon ship to get that data core. And of course, has another freak out.
Yeah, they're becoming more frequent and more severe.
And it's because since they brought that Klingon prisoner aboard, there's a lot more. He's starting to kind of, I guess, sleeper cell out, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, he finds the heads of an Andorian and a Vulcan who don't particularly like each other. And everybody on the Discovery is like, an Andorian and a Vulcan? Like, what the fuck?
Especially in this time period.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's an episode of Journey to Babel where the Enterprise is taking all these representatives to a conference, and the Andorians and the Vulcans don't particularly like each other. And so as they're going through this, they're trying to figure out, you know, where they are, what's going on, and using this data core. But at the same time, Ash is trying to figure out why he's having these, you know, episodes. And it looks like we're having that fan theory is correct.
Right.
Where it seems that Ash was I can't remember his name as a Vulcan. I want to say Valk, but I don't think that's it.
As a Klingon, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. But yeah, it's that dude.
Yeah.
I want to know how they made, and I know I'm being a little too picky, but as a Klingon, he was whiter.
Yeah.
Like, what exactly? I mean, they actually did touch on the show that they shortened his limbs.
Yeah, his spinal cord was shortened. They you know, shortened his femurs and things like that. So,
shaved his head.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny because you even see that in other movies. You know, Next Gen, the original series, and the other ones where they can physically augment them to make them look Romulan. Or, right. You know...
Yeah, but that... I mean, throwing on some ears is one thing. You know, going from Klingon to human, that's pretty intense. Like, was that the same dude that was in the makeup, though? I don't think it was.
No, it was.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, supposed to have been the same guy. Even though he didn't get any... His name was appeared in the credits, but he didn't... But it was never given, like, who his character was. So that's why everybody was suspecting that. His name is in there. But he's not in the episode. But that Klingon dude's in the episode, so you're kind of doing a little bit.
I'm surprised they wouldn't leave his name out a couple of episodes.
Yeah. But so he starts going a little nuts, and we start figuring out that he is the Klingon agent because his quote-unquote torturer is the chick that, you know, told him that he was going to have to sacrifice everything. And... she is kind of confused because what did she say that prayer was supposed to wake him up?
Yeah, he should have woke up already.
Yeah, and so apparently they did too good of a job. so we have this and they're trying to figure out, you know, what happened, what they did, and then eventually they figured out where they are once they got into the data core. And here's a little snippet of that breakdown.
I'm downloading the Klingon Raiders logs, images, battle plans, intelligence that we found from the core. And so far, we can conclude that we are indeed in a parallel universe, but one not governed by the Federation, but by a fascistic human-only organization known as the Terran Empire. Most places and ships that are found in our universe, like the Cooper, exist here. The same goes for people.
You mean we could literally meet another version of ourselves?
Theoretically, yes.
Wow.
The Terrans appear to be the antithesis of us in every way. They're an oppressive, racist, xenophobic culture that dominates all known space. They're ruled by a faceless emperor.
And those ships we found?
They're part of a rebellion that is made up essentially of all non-human species. They're fighting for freedom. The rebellion fears and mistrusts humans. The Terran culture appears to be predicated upon an unconditional hatred and rejection of anything and everything other.
That means us. There's no way we're asking these neighbors for a cup of sugar.
Which I thought was kind of interesting when, you know, they're like anybody non-human. But then he's like, yeah, but we're not part of them. So obviously, You know?
Yeah, because that kind of extremism goes beyond the surface stuff. Like, it's like, you don't agree with me? Okay, well, I'm going to stomp you out. You know, so, and unfortunately, we know on real history that humans are very capable of that if pushed the right way. So it's kind of a terrifying aspect to think of human race as the bad guy.
Keep the universe white again.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we know it's a bit of an allegory. It's an extreme, but the thing is that compared to what we had in the 60s and then the 90s versions, you know, the 90s versions, I'm talking DS9 and Enterprise, it was a little more Roman Empire-esque.
Yeah.
You know, but now you get into this now, and it seems even more, you know, relevant than it did, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. So it is pretty interesting. And we also find out that also Lorca and Michael are both MIA in this universe. Lorca was suspected of killing Michael as a revolt against the Emperor. I was kind of surprised with that. I was like, oh, really? Like, you know, and he lost his ship still.
Yeah.
And then he's considered still alive and a fugitive because... an enemy of the Empire. But the Lorca turns around, he's like, well, I thought I'd find a better version of myself. And I thought, well, isn't it? Because you're fighting for the Federation. You're giving all, you know, balls deep for the Federation in this in your universe. But now you're fighting against them because they're doing something wrong. So that means you have a moral compass.
Yeah. Essentially his doppelganger is the same guy.
Yeah.
Just in a different situation.
Yeah.
a much worse situation.
A much worse situation, right? I thought it was hilarious that we find out that Tilly's the captain of the Discovery.
I know. And that she's fucking like hot. killer Tilly and stupid shit like that.
Captain Killy. That's what they call it. Captain Killy. And she looks actually really good. Like, you know, like
she still looks not threatening at all.
Well, she did a pretty good job when she was talking to
she got into it, didn't she? Yeah. That shit was funny.
Like, I would cut out that tongue and use it to lick my boots. I was like, damn.
Fuck.
That there was funny because there was that one Asian officer that tried to, like, I guess try to kiss her during that party scene, the Harry Mudd episode. And he's a bridge officer, and when she did that, he gave this look of like, oh, damn. Like I think he like sported one.
He got
like,
a little wet. A little pre-jizz came out, ready to go.
he was ready for that.
That's right.
But it was funny, too, when they found that Tilly was the captain, and Lorca was like, this is preposterous. Like,
yeah, he didn't like that she was sitting on the captain's chair and shit.
And then she gave him as the engineer. So he did a little Scotty impression.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was funny. There's a lot of throwbacks in this episode, which is probably a lot of Frank's throwing it in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of little things like just for the fans. Like if you weren't a Star Trek fan, you wouldn't notice.
Right. And it's cool because it's the kind of stuff that it doesn't take away anything if you don't know the joke. You know, it's kind of like, you know, because she said,
yeah,
disguise
so
your voice. Yeah.
He's supposed to be the main engineer. He pulls a Scottish accent. Okay, we know Star Trek fans, you know, they're pulling Scotty, you know, it's kind of cute, whatever. But if not, he's just disguising his voice and using a funny accent.
Right.
You know, so it's, yeah, exactly. It doesn't, you're not left going, what are they talking about? Like,
yeah,
there's nothing more awkward.
It's not a Snyder episode.
Right.
It's not a Zack Snyder.
There's nothing
episode.
More awkward than when two people have an inside joke and you're the one standing there watching it happen. You're like, what?
What the hell's going on? I don't know what happened here. Also, another reference was when the ship that Ash is in when he's trying to retrieve the data core, and he's sitting at the table, and Michael's like talking to him. He's like, it's happened again. And she's like, what happened in the worker bee? That is a throwback to the little pod that they used to refit the Enterprise in Star Trek, the motion picture.
Right.
Because in there, yes, I'm that big of a nerd. I had the original Enterprise schematics when they did the refit. And
but he had the big blue rollout.
Yeah, schematic. Of course. With you know, and it was all dated, like, you know, which date the Enterprise was designed and all that's right. The updated stuff. But they actually showed the worker bees, and that's what they were called, worker bees, because they're single piloted things that, you know, attach and detach and, you know, do all the work outside of the ship. So it was kind of cool to have those little nuances in there. One thing I wanted to say, I'll get back to Tilly in a minute, is the emblem. They jazzed up the emblem a little bit.
Yeah, and it looks cool because it was kind of dope how Lorca was like, look, if we're going to survive it here, we need to play by their rules. And he basically had them all change their outfits and got a new emblems marked up and all that.
And the paint.
Yeah, they changed the paint on the ship and it was kind of interesting. But did they ever say where this universe's version of the Discovery was?
They did. They said that they found they had the quantum signature of the Discovery in that exact same spot, and they said it seemed to have disappeared around the time they came in, yeah. So they may have switched spots, which means there's a rogue Discovery back in the other universe. We need an episode of that. Yeah. You know, that's what we
just confused.
You have Tilly just blowing shit up and like going after the Klingons and everything. That's what we need. But it's cool because one of the things that I've always kind of when I've been thinking about this show, and I was thinking about it a lot today, is so we have Michael and Lorca. They're the characters. Their character's point of view is for people like Adam and myself. We're deep fans into it. We know a lot of that stuff. We've read the books. We've looked up all the different charters and all of that stuff. So when they talk, we get what they're saying. We know the references they're pulling. Tilly is for the people that kind of are new to Star Trek. Maybe aren't as hardcore fans as we are. They're more of the general audience. And
right. Because she's funny. She's cute. Quirky. Right.
Exactly.
Like her character could be on Big Bang Theory very easily.
Yeah.
You know?
And even could be on the Orville.
Yeah.
But and it's funny because to me when I was watching her, I was thinking, you know, she's like against type of what we've always seen in Star Trek. Everybody in Star Trek, officers, cadets or whatever, always thin, always lean, you know, always this kind of cookie cutter.
Always very professional too.
Mm-hmm. And we have her who is this complete opposite. You know, she's red hair, you know, she's unsure in her own skin. She talks when she's nervous, you know, and she's also, I guess you would say, Rubenesque, you know, because she doesn't have that, you know, very thin frame.
She reminds me of Barkley a little bit, though.
Yeah, a little bit. And, but not as annoying.
No.
No.
Barkley got really fucking annoying.
But I like Tilly. The more and more I've been exposed to her and how her and Michael interact with one another, it kind of makes sense that they would become friends because she needs something out of Michael to be a better officer, because we saw that before, how she wanted to eventually become a captain. So now we see in this episode she's a captain and she's a ruthless one. You know, what was it? She got to power by killing the former captain in bed. So, you know.
Yeah.
We know she uses her women and her feminine wiles.
Yeah, as she should.
Right. And so, you know, we have that. And you know, when she was on screen, when she was talking to the Shinzo is still around, which I thought was very cool.
Yeah.
It was funny, too, because like when she goes back to it, you see a lot of the faces and I'm like, these were people in the first episode.
I know. That was kind of nuts. But you don't see the old captain.
Yeah.
So
somewhere along the lines. You know, well, you figure because, like, they don't say how Michael came to captain that ship. Did she kill her again? You know?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But you know, they decide that they're going to find the information from the Defiant because they figured the Defiant got there. It didn't have spore technology. So obviously there's some way it's going to. So I guess we're going to see the Tholians soon.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so
I'd like to see some upgraded Tholians.
I know, right?
Because they were one of them cheesy looking races.
Yeah, and then we saw them in DS9, and all they were like in these like silver suits because they couldn't survive in our environment or something right. like that. So what we get in this is now is that they're gonna go on to the Shinzo, and look for the Defiant and find a way to get back, hopefully using their the way they came through. So, and if you're not familiar with this, there's an episode called The Tholian Web in the original series that this is based off of, and they used it again in a Mirror Darkly Part 1 and 2 for Star Trek Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get into that, so they figure that Michael and Lorca are both MIA in this universe. So Michael is going to assume the identity of that Michael of that universe and bring Lorca aboard as the prisoner that she faked her death so she could go on undercover and find him and bring him back to the Empire. So her, Ash, and Lorca go over to the Shinzo. Now the Shinzo has a new captain who used to be her con officer in the pilot, and he's a dick, you know. But he's a dick because he's insecure. He's totally insecure. So, you know, they're going to go to the bridge because she wants him to escort her to her ready room. So they're in the turbo lift. This scene was fucking awesome. He was like, you know, I almost didn't become captain, but I found, you know, but I came out on top in the end. Because in this universe, the only way you got promoted was killing the person ahead of you. That's how you got promoted in this universe. So he decides that he tells her that, you know, but the Emperor found favor in me, but they bow to me, but they don't bow as low as they do to you. So the only way he's going to get
this salty motherfucker.
I know. And then he's like, the only way they're going to do that is if he takes her out, basically. So we have this close quarter fight scene between Lorca.
Which is pretty good,
between
too.
Between Michael and this guy, I can't remember his name, but
it's not really important.
Yeah, it's not really. It really isn't. but yeah, it's a really really cool fight scene. Connor, that's his name, and he's getting kind of the upper hand on her. But I love it when she smashes that conduit, and then all of a sudden the turbo lift kind of does this like drop. Yeah. And then you see them both kind of fly up into the air, and he has that look of like, oh shit, but she's like, exactly what I needed to do. And then
but
stabs
she reset
him.
The fight, basically.
Yeah, and she stabs him against the door, and it's that moment where you see her like, she killed him, like, again. she's killed this dude twice, you yeah. know?
How does it feel to die twice?
Yeah.
In the same season, bro.
Yeah, exactly. But what's hilarious is like the doors open and he falls flat on the ground. She throws her knife. Everybody kind of looks, and slowly we get that slow clap.
That was funny.
Like all the bridge crew turns, looks, and they start doing this slow clap, and they're like, you know, welcome, Captain. Welcome back, Captain Burnham. And like everybody was all happy she was back. I'm like going, this dude is not going to be missed.
Yeah. I don't think anyone liked this cat.
Yeah. And, but the way she sat in the chair, taking command of the bridge, you know, I was like, you know, she was just like, she took charge.
That's right.
This
is my world, motherfucker.
So we have to talk about that death that happened in this episode.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Dr. Colbert, Paul Stamets's partner, gets killed by
it
Ash.
It wasn't even a triumph death. It was so mm-hmm. quick, which
yeah.
I think made it extra sad.
Yeah, because he basically figures out that, you know, he is he's not who he says he is. It's
right.
Like, you know, and that's where we come back and talking about, like, you know, they shortened his spine and they shortened his femurs. And
he doesn't know who he is, but he knows yeah. he's not who he thinks he is.
Yeah. And, you know, the Dr. Colbert was like, well, we did all these things. He goes, OK, well, let's run a deeper scan and see what's going on. And then he realizes, like, yeah, you know, something's happened to you, but I need to do. And he was going to bench him and not let him participate in the away mission. And he loses control and snaps his neck.
Yeah. That was a clean snap, too.
Dude, yeah. I know. I was like, oh, man. And you know, you have those people out there that are like, why do we need a gay couple in there? It's like, shut the fuck up. I like this dude.
I wasn't worried about him being gay. I just thought he was a good character.
Yeah, I liked his character. And I still remember him from My So-Called Life.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, that was him. He grew up into a real good-looking guy. I was like going, oh, yeah, that's him. And I'm like, oh, shit. Because I remember, like, he was thin and awkward and just
he was kind of goofy back then.
Yeah, and you're just like going, damn. Somebody grew up into their body. But from what I've heard, this is not the end of it. Now, it could make sense because if Stamets comes back and then they're able to travel through space and time and shit like that, he might restore something, you know. So anything's possible at this point.
Yeah, we're in
comic realm, book territory right now.
Right. We're in a realm of Star Trek that starts to get a little surreal. Like anytime they start, one, you get the spore drive shit.
Right.
And then now we have the we're in the mirror universe. Like it feels like they came back from the break and us as an audience was like, oh, let's see what they bring to the table. Like, it wasn't, I don't want to say lukewarm, but it's not like, oh, fuck, yet.
Well, we didn't have that, like, that dun-dun-dun, right. You know, kind of
so finale. the show comes back, and we go, okay, what do you got? And before it starts, the metaphorical show as a person goes, hold my beer, motherfucker, but right. We strap the fuck in. Like, oh, shit. Like, they went for it in this episode. Like, it was so good. And they didn't hold back, too, I think. They were throwing shit in from the other fucking series. People dying. Motherfucker was like, ha, motherfucker, I'm not who I'm saying I am. What the fuck? You know, just all kinds of crazy shit was going on. Like, I was like, fuck, man, it's almost too much.
And we know that this is the last batch of 6 episodes, I think, for this season. And according to what the producers have said, that this season is going, this story is going to kind of tie up at the end of the season. So, you know, so obviously things are going to have to kind of ramp up because right. the past 7 episodes that we had were, you know, some with the spore drive and then that ended quickly, the character development. And then, you know, we had Harry Mudd and the Klingon battle, which kind of seemed a little lukewarm with the way it ended. But now we're getting into like, now I'm like really curious as to where they're going to go with this. Like, where is this headed? You know? So that should be really, really cool. I mean, this episode was a really, really good way to come back.
Yeah.
And if you guys are also all curious about the past episodes that we did, it started with an episode of Just Another Podcast, and then we did minisodes, so you could catch up. Those are all on iTunes on the website. You guys can go ahead and catch all those and hear what we had up to this point. I'm kind of glad they added the last episode that we had, you know, the Klingon battle, to the finale as opposed to what we would have had before. Because this episode would have been that last episode that we had and would have been kind of like, meh, okay. But I'm glad.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I don't mind that we ended kind of lukewarm on the break because we're starting off so fucking strong. Like, I would have been annoyed if they ended at the break with this episode and then picked up again on the second part. It just would have been too much. Because I don't mind when they do it as a season finale because it's going to remind me back in the day. Like, you got to wait. It's cool. But these little breaks, Christmas breaks are dumb to me. Like, it's not like they're like, okay, guys, we get a break before we have to film the next one. It's not a live show, assholes. You know, you could just air the fucking show during the holidays. Like,
well, they pulled that AMC Walking Dead bullshit.
Yeah,
because it's like, okay, we have an episode, then 6 months, then you have to come back instead of doing all 13 episodes, then you wait a year, you know, for it to come. I mean, we still are going to have a massive break in between the end of this season and when the next season kicks up because they haven't even started filming yet. So it's like, I'm not exactly sure what I'm pretty. I mean, I know what they were trying to do is trying to keep people longer on here instead of like ending in January and then nothing else. But you only have 13 episodes. It's not, you know, and you're streaming shit. So
yeah, back like when Next Generation was pushing 23 episodes a season.
Yeah, I know.
And step your fucking game up, dude.
The original Star Trek series was 25 to 26 episodes a season.
Yeah.
It's like, you're working good on a year on that. It's like, come on, give me a break. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I was talking to somebody. They were like, well, Star Trek wouldn't work as a normal series anymore because it's too expensive to make television shows. I'm like, that doesn't, you can look at the Orville. You can make these shows on a budget. As if you really look at the Orville, it's the plainest looking fucking ship on the inside you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Except for
it's the visual effects that cost much.
Right. Except for their 10 forward. But yeah, their hallways and the rooms and shit, just like Next Generation, it was plain as shit.
Well, I mean, you can't really run that. You can't say that that's true because, look, we've got, you know, and they film it in Vancouver, so it's not like they're filming in L.A. But you also, I mean, you have Legends of Tomorrow. You have The Flash. You have Arrow. You know, you have, those are network television shows. They run 22 episodes a season and, you know, they make them, you know. It's like, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, you know, it just, you know, I mean, yeah, the Orville only did 13 episodes, I think, for this season because it was expensive and it was a gamble. They were going to say, look, you film the first season, then we'll see what happens. But now they know for next season when it comes back, which will probably be next year, they're over there saying that, yeah, they're going to actually push it to probably 16 episodes, you know, increase the episodes because people tuned in and watched. So, you know, I never bought that like it's too expensive. No, it's not too expensive to make. There's other shows that cost about the same amount of money and have less shit.
So yeah, depending on who's on it too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you do this kind of show, you can get somebody like Jason Isaacs to, you know, to star on that because it's only 13 episodes, it's 13 weeks. Then he can still go on and do movies and play another American, you know, military guy or, you know, evil sorcerer.
Thank God.
Yeah, because he's an English treasure.
That's right. He's an Earth treasure.
There you go. There you go. One thing we did want to touch on the end of the show was at the behest of Orbital Fetus, we finally saw the Dark Mirror episode, USS Callister.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I remember hearing about it and seeing all that. And personally, I hadn't watched Dark Mirror. I wanted to, but it was one of those kind of things where, you know, you just have too much to watch and you just kind of didn't want to invest in a bummer version of The Twilight Zone. When I mean bummer, I don't mean like a secondhand. I mean like even more depressing than The Twilight
Zone. I've seen the first season. And it's very well written, very good acting, and the storytelling is superb, but they don't usually end on a high note.
Right.
And I was watching them, you know, binge watching, and I think that's the show that made me realize I don't like binge watching because it just, I was
like
just
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. You just get depressed or
Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones, I watched all the way through, but that was kind of depressing too. But I think, and with Game of Thrones too, I think with binge watching, you lose a little bit of the excitement of the show.
Yeah.
Because back in the day when we had to watch just one a week, kind of like we're going with Star Trek, I noticed this with Star Trek. We watch one episode and then we have a whole week to go, bro, I bet it's this and this, or I bet this is going to come through. And I think that's such an important part. Well,
it's like what it's like what we had with the Orville, because like you were like going, dude, Thursday, man, I'm all about the Orville. You know, it was one of the few shows you watched live.
Like watching a show just one after another, it just seems impersonal. Like you just don't, you're not really getting into it. It's just on,
right?
You know, and I don't know. That's just me. I know most people binge watch things, but
I, you know, I usually, if I binge watch, I can really only go like four episodes deep.
Yeah.
You know, and then I have to kind of stop.
Or watch something else, or just do something different.
Or move to the other side of the couch and then watch another four episodes. Right. But one thing that I was one thing that I did notice, if it's a show I've seen before, Star Trek, West Wing, Doctor Who or something like that, I can let those run.
Oh, you can binge watch something you've already seen. Yeah.
You know, and it's like I can do that. Well, John and I did that with the last season of Doctor Who. We kind of on Christmas Day we just let it go. And like all day sat there watching until the Christmas special.
I mean, as you should.
Yeah. We're right, you know, because that's an American thing to do for a British show.
Right.
But yeah, so getting back to this, Orbital Fetus sent us an email to our Facebook page basically saying, you know, if we haven't watched this, we've done a disservice. Straight fucking up, I think he was originally. Mm-hmm. And then he said that it would be such a blow that our family, it would disappoint our family lineage at some point because we didn't see this episode. And I was always intrigued in it because I knew it was a Star Trek parody, but I didn't really realize how deep it was going to get. So I watched it because I said, okay, I go, we'll talk about it on this next week's Star Trek Away Team, and so fucking good.
Yeah, it was
like the funny thing is that not even really a Star Trek parody. I mean, it is in kind of the essence of the costumes, the way it worked, the way, like, when it opens with basically like an episode, you know, and the bad effects and all
but
of
it
that
was
stuff.
Really bad. Like, yeah. They were really hamming it up. Like, it was
hip, hip,
horrifying.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Pip, pip, hooray.
But then you find out that all makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, and it was such, I think it was a really good episode. And it did that thing that I hate when they do where you like someone and then find out he's the piece of shit.
Yeah.
You're like, ah.
Yeah, because in the episode, it's like, you know, it fits too because it is that gamer mentality. You know, that I don't want to say, I guess, nerd mentality, where you don't really function all that well in life. You know, you don't have all the social norms, something Adam can relate to. you don't have all the social norms. So you kind of, you know, create your own world where you're God. And that's what he did in this one. He created a basically his own mod of a game he was working on that happened to embrace this Star Trek light. What do you call it? Was it Space Fleet or something like that?
Space Fleet in the Callister.
Yeah.
The name of the ship.
The name of the ship was the Callister. And he would... This part is where it really got creepy, is when somebody did something he didn't like, he would take some of their DNA and replicate it or assimilate it into the game, and they would be like almost real life versions of themselves in this game.
No, it was a perfect digital clone. So that the consciousness of that person was now copied and put into this game. So they had a full range of emotions. They remembered everything from outside
up to that point.
Right. So you had this cutie girl that came in, and then she was really into him because he's also the lead programmer of this like massive virtual game. So she was kind of impressed to work with him or whatever. And then someone told her, oh, be careful because it gets kind of creepy, you know, he stares. So she got standoffish. So he steals one of her coffee cups when she leaves and then makes a copy of her. So then she shows up in the ship. And she's fucking bonkers confused. She has no idea what the fuck she's doing. and then you find out that they all, the bridge crew, are like his partner at the company and some chick that called him out for staring at her.
Yeah, and one who
the
didn't
Russian
smile
receptionist
enough.
That doesn't smile enough. You know, stupid shit like that. The pizza delivery dude for getting his pizza wrong.
Yeah, you know, it was just kind of like, you're like, oh my God, like this, you're kind of like, wow, like kind of like a, like, it's funny because you felt bad for him. And then as everything goes and you started reading more into it and you started figuring out what he's doing, you're kind of like, what a piece of shit.
But then much like every Doc Mirror episode, it gets Doc. so you find out that they all just kind of sit around until he shows up.
That was kind of funny because, well, it's funny because you think about it in a game, like when you think it pauses and then you're kind of like, do they really pause? You know, it's like, you know, like the guy when they were about to fight, he's, oh, hold on, my pizza's here. And then they're like, oh, and then they finally, they all kind of sigh and he's like, oh, this blaster's fucking heavy. And then that one chick that, did something and he turned her into a creature. And then the guy that's one of the partners that kind of goes, hey, so-and-so, how you doing? And she's just talking back to you. You see the creature kind of like, you know, kind of like whatever, you know. You're just like, wow, this fucking sucks. Crazy.
And then, so the new chick is like, she's also a programmer. So that's the one difference is she's a gifted programmer. She's like, we can hack. Now he has like a communicator, the captain, the real dude. And that's the only thing she noticed that it told him that the pizza was there. So it's the only thing that can communicate with the outside world. So she's like, we need to hack in and get into it, whatever. And, she's like, we need to take over the ship. I'm kind of skipping through it, but she's like, we need to take over the ship. The whole thing is there's an update coming.
Yeah.
And the update manifests itself in this game world as a wormhole. Now they can't. She goes, if we fly through the wormhole, it will connect us to the real game because he's paying like a modded offline version of the game that he created.
Right.
So it flies in the real game and the security protocols will delete the rogue code and it will kill them. So their goal is like it will just kill us and then we won't have to be here anymore.
They'll be free. Yeah.
Right. They'll be free. So the one dude who's in real life, the partner, he's against it. And then he tells one of the saddest fucking stories. So basically, it starts out with he was the only one there with him, with the captain. And he wasn't cooperating. He's like, fuck you. You know, what are you going to do? And I guess he did a bunch of horrific things to him. You just couldn't break him. He was like, fuck you. Yeah. You know, so. Because
you can't die in that universe.
Right. So, unless he lets you.
Right.
So he brings in a clone of the dude's like son, and I think this kid had to have been like 8.
Jesus, yeah. And he threw
him out an airlock
and made him watch.
And made him watch the whole fucking time. And then he told him, he's like, if you don't cooperate, I can do that as many times as I want.
Yeah, because the kid left a lollipop in the office. And because he had all of their DNA, he kept it frozen so he could use it if anything ever happened, he could recreate him. So they couldn't basically die in the game or something like that, because then he would just bring him back. And so they developed this plan to fly to the wormhole, but have the female coder contact her real life self and get rid of the DNA.
Blackmail her with some fucking Snapchat photos.
I like where she's like, well, I still have this photo cloud account. And my favorite part is when they're going through the pictures, they're like, oh, and the Russian goes, oh, what a life, huh? And they're just looking, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, whoa, oh. Oh my God. It was like, should I keep scrolling? Any of the last 9 would do. And for those of you that, if you see her and she looks familiar, she played the mother in How I Met Your Mother.
She is hot. Yeah.
She's such a cute, those eyes and just, yeah. But
she's like, it's going to sound bad, but she's like Jewish hot, which isn't, it doesn't mean like Jewish girls aren't as hot, but they have distinct features and one is big eyes, you know, and they're it's a special kind of hot. It's like an exotic white person hot, you know, just saying.
And you can send your emails to.
Listen, I'm just saying Jewish girls are cute. That's all I'm trying to say.
But yeah, and you know, we're gonna spoil it. I'll fuck it, spoilers.
I've spoiled the entire episode,
right? Now. So you know, they head over there and they stranded the captain on a planet who was able to get off the planet on a crash shuttle, and they're trying to get
which I think is funny that he made this world where he has to follow the rules in it, so he can't affect them unless he can see them. Because one scene we skipped over, the girl at first was like, fuck you, I'm not doing shit. And he points his hand at her, and her face was gone.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was kind of creepy. And then she couldn't breathe, you know, because she has no mouth.
Yeah.
And he told her, he's like, you know, you don't have to die. You could just be gasping for air forever.
Right, because you can only die unless I let you. Right. You know, so he does that. So now he's trying to get to the ship, but you know, they go through an asteroid belt, the ship gets damaged, so they lose main power. And the only way they can do it is if somebody goes in there and restarts the engine in there, which is going to send fire, and somebody's going to basically burn. So the business partner does it, and he patches him through to his the main guy, the guy that's running the game, and goes, you know, he gives this really heartfelt speech. He's like, you know, I should have given you credit. You were the brains. I was just the face. You know, it kind of a Steve Jobs Wozniak kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he's making this just
plea of like, Wozniak was a schizophrenic psychopath.
Right, which he's not, you know. Right. Because he got out of Apple, so he's not. Right. And
exactly.
If he stayed, then that'd be a different story. But then, you know, he goes through this whole heartfelt speech about how he should have appreciated him more and stuff like that. And then at the end he goes, but you killed my son. So fuck you.
Yeah,
and then
that was kicks, great.
And then kicks the engine on, and then they make it into the wormhole. And then the wormhole collapses, and the dude is stuck in his own universe by himself. But because it detected the code, it's starting to shut down the mod.
Yeah, it was deleting the mod, and he can't get out.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, now he's sitting in this endless void.
What was it? End game. End fucking game.
Yeah.
End fucking game.
He basically was throwing a little tantrum too.
Yeah.
And in the real world, so the way they connect to this game is they put these two little like dots, sensor things on their temples, and then their eyes go white.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. And then they
not that I would do it, but that was cool.
But they can't they're like basically comatose.
Yeah.
So now he's stuck like that. So we're left to believe, well, he's just gonna starve to death.
Yeah.
Because his human body is still functioning,
right? It's still functioning in the realm in the outside world.
Right.
So the crew goes through the wormhole and ends up completely changed. I thought this was hilarious because it what happened was, it was the original series. They go through this wormhole and they end up in the J.J. Abrams universe.
I know, it was fun. But basically what happened is, so they for some reason, they don't really explain it, what happened, what they thought would happen did happen. So they went to the wormhole, and they were now in actual game, the public game that
connected to
play.
The internet. Yeah.
And it did delete the rogue code. So all the Star Trek-y looking stuff was gone. And now they're just in a spaceship, and they have these like,
basically it's the Kelvin universe. It's the Kelvin universe now.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it just, it looks like almost like EVE Online. Like, it's a generic, you know, space faring game, but they were not considered rogue. The game considers them players.
Yeah.
So now they're it was kind of cool because they're basically, for till the end of time or until the game gets canceled, they can just explore this procedural generated, explicitly detailed universe.
And the thing was, is that, you know, like the Russian chick was a blue skin, and it, remember, she's like, yes, and she goes, you have blue skin, yes. It's almost racist, you know.
Yeah.
Now
he made her the alien. It is
right.
Racist.
It is racist, and you know she's looks normal. And the Uhura chick that was in there, he turned her into a creature because she begged for mercy for the new girl, and he turned her into a creature. But she turned back because
that was all modded code.
Yeah. So they all became back, and of course, who's the first person they run into? Some fucker in a game. And I started laughing because I'm like, oh my god, this is so good. This is like such a multiplayer game.
Right.
It is
so
like,
he hails, it's a different ship, and he hails them, and they answer the hail, but to them, they're on a ship. So she's right. Like, this is the captain of blah, blah, blah. And he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you have anything to trade? And she's like, no. And he's like, then why the fuck would you answer? Like, such a leap fucking gamer kind of just bullshit. And then he's like, get out of here before he blow you up. And then they go, well, just go somewhere. Or where's said, where do you want to go? And he said, fuck it. Or something
no,
like
she
that.
Goes, he goes, of course, let's just fuck off somewhere.
Let's just fuck off somewhere. And then he leaves. And then the last thing you hear, they're gone. And the other dude, there, yeah, king of space.
I was dying. I know. I was like, oh, that's such a fucking gamer.
And that was the happiest ending to an episode of Doc Mirror that I'd ever seen in my life.
Like those shows are not happy. Like I think the first episode was the second happiest one, and she was in prison and all fucked up.
Yeah, because so. I remember getting introduced because I was listening to an episode of Smodcast, and Kevin Smith was telling Scott Mosier, he goes, "Have you heard of the show Dark Mirror?" And he's like, "No," and he's like, "Dark Mirror," and he's like, "No," and he goes, "Oh," he goes, and he told them like two different episodes, and I was like, "Oh, that's kind of creepy." He's like, he goes, "It's so fucked up." He goes, "It's good, but it's so fucked up." And now there's a new series coming out, Android's Dream of Electric Sheep. And it's basically the same kind of series. It's an anthology series, kind of sci-fi-ish. But people are already saying it's actually a lighter version of Dark Mirror.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, so not every episode's going to be a downer note, you know?
I mean, they're downers because they're realistic.
Right.
Like, they're Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
It really is the modern Twilight Zone.
Which is why, in a different universe, when
you're looking at an episode.
Which is why I think the reboot of Twilight Zone is so ill-timed, because you have shows that are better than that now. It's like, yeah, all you're going to do is going to, what are you going to do? Copy the same thing? You know, by this
all the young people are going to be like, this is a copy of Dark Mirror.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just going to get lame. But the first episode of Dark Mirror was actually really good. It was this universe that they're in, the world. It's like modern times, but everything is social networking likes and dislikes. Okay. So everybody has a score, but the thing is your social score is also your credit score, and it's all tied into each other. So this chick who has a pretty good standing, she's like, you would consider middle class. She's allowed to have middle class things. And then she wants to step it up. So she's like, well, I'm going to hang out with these cooler people. People will see me with them and they'll like it, and they'll like it and stuff like that. And it started working out for her, but then she made one mistake and people started downvoting her. And then she just threw a series of unfortunate events, was just having a really shitty day. And she kept getting downvoted. And then she ended up being lower class. Like, she couldn't rent a car. She couldn't buy a cup of coffee. She'd go into a coffee shop and they'd be like, ugh. You know, like, they hold their phone up and it will tell you what their score is and shit. And then at the end, you could tell she kind of learned the moral story is that this world that she lives in is pretty fucked and she probably shouldn't participate in it, you know? Right. But it was really good. Like, they do stuff like that, like things that make you think. And there was another episode where they wanted to test this. This was a mind fuck episode where they're like, oh, well, it's this game where they put something in his head and then it's almost like VR, but it's like augmented reality. And they put him in an old house. And then it's like, okay, you know, we're going to scare you. And it starts off whatever. But then everything starts going batshit. And everyone's out to get him. And he can't trust anything. And it's because the game went too far.
Oh.
And really said, you know what would fuck with this dude? If I fuck his reality, like, with no lube. And he his brain pops.
Oh, shit.
Or something. And then you find out that he's like the sixth person that's happened to and shit. It's like, they're really good, but I had to take a hard break because you start having existential fucking issues.
Right.
You're just like, what the fuck?
You start questioning, you know, modern conveniences and shit like that.
Right. Do I need a toaster?
Right.
Exactly. Or does the toaster need me to exist?
Suddenly the microwave is sitting outside on the front lawn.
It's right. Like, specifically upside down. It has
right,
to be
it has
upside
to be
down.
Upside down, of course.
They're going crazy.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what I'm doing, you have two ways to help out. One, you can make a one-time donation to make this show self-sustaining, or simply feed my pets. Either through PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo, check the show notes for details and links. Or two, you can share us on social media or review us on Apple Podcasts. This will make the algorithm gods promote our show to an unsuspecting public. You can also stalk me on Facebook, facebook.com/thelazygeeks1010. On all our other socials, Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, and TikTok, @thelazygeeks. If you're old school, email me at themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. And if you want to read some news, blogs, or some of my other podcast content, check out the blog at thelazygeeks.com. So that's it for me this week. So until next time, 2 to beam up.